thank you and peace be to you from our God and Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and His Spirit. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. The fourth petition stands by way of enumeration at the very middle of the Lord's Prayer and deals with our physical and temporal needs. And all of today's lessons call attention to these same matters. The first lesson describes an instance of civil judgment, a just and wise judgment rendered in the case of the two harlots. The second lesson recounts an almost unbelievable rescue from shipwreck. The gospel refers to our disciples locating and preparing an upper room for the celebration of the Passover. So let's give our attention to a few of the basics regarding daily bread under the theme, Make Us Thankful Later. We know first that daily bread embraces a wide expanse of things which we do not always consider. When we rejoice in the certainty of God providing our daily bread for us throughout our lives. And finally, we ponder the full significance of sharing the daily bread to begin with. All the while, let us beseech our God, make us thankful, Lord. By petitioning our God for daily bread, our thoughts certainly could not be restricted to our cafeteria trays or our brown bags and Tupperware baskets or our refrigerator and kitchen table. As Luther reminds us in his explanation of the fourth petition, daily bread involves much more than those things. For daily bread is include everything that belongs to the support and warmth of our body on God's earth. So Jesus could easily have made a rather lengthy paragraph of this particular petition of the Lord's Prayer. He could have begun to name the specific things that we eat and drink every day. He could have mentioned such things as adequate clothing, a protection from germs and diseases, shelter from the rain and the burning sun and the freezing snow, cheery and jovial companionship. He could have enumerated and had us say words about the fields yielding their rich increase and the farmers prospering. He might have asked us to inquire of our Heavenly Father that He give us help to manage our family's finances well, and to be good stewards of the time that He provides for us, to give us loving and God-fearing spouses and children and parents and other relatives, and even as we name some of these things, we do not exhaust the meaning of this fourth petition. Today's second reading to note it again points out that daily bread includes also that almost unbelievable protection which God provides for us in the face of natural calamities, and even in the face of the wild and deceitful people. As the soldiers wanted to get rid of the prisoners, but the centurion prevented them. God alone, we know, can keep us from lasting harm in the midst of the evil of this world. And yet, neither food, nor clothing, nor weather, nor friends, nor protection from natural catastrophes, nor any such thing is our greatest temporal need. For our greatest need has to do with peace and freedom in our everyday lives, so that nothing prevents us from our study and work and the provision of other necessities. God grants us our daily bread, He points out, chiefly and primarily through civil authorities. Civil authorities to whom, like King Solomon, God gives diligence and wisdom, knowledge, and justice. At the time of King Solomon, and also today, a stable, a peaceful government with wise and diligent officials enables us to enjoy in security and peace whatever God gives us. and injustice and dissension and rioting can do us, daily bread seems almost non-existent. But when stability prevails in peace and society, when an effective government is in office, when people can live together in harmony and civil obedience, then daily bread is usually in rich supply. And thus it is that the first petition embraces many things which do not immediately come to our mind as we say, give us this day our daily bread. And today we want to ask, make us thankful, Lord, for enough. Amazingly, even before we begin to pray for all that is involved in having and enjoying our daily bread, however, God already grants it to us without any faith. Our sinfulness makes us unable to believe this on our own. We consider that a just and holy God provides all things. Then we reflect upon our own waywardness and moral perversity. We remember our frequent lack of turning to God and trusting Him and His provision for us in times of sickness or worry or other great distress. We think of the many occasions when we cast the activities of our daily lives in ignorance of God, neglecting Him, perhaps unintentionally or even intentionally disobeying Him. And as we reflect upon our innate wickedness and compare it with God's just demands, we cannot of ourselves but doubt His goodness for us. God seeks to punish us, we conclude on the basis of His law, and we imagine that He accomplishes this chastisement in the way that hurts us most by not giving us all our daily bread, by withholding from us some of the physical blessings that we desire or need. We don't get enough, we say. Perhaps you're thinking it's time, money, or work, or success, or reputation, or friends, or whatever it might be. Doubt infects our soul and distorts our outlook, and we sinfully surmise God doesn't really give us our daily bread. God Himself provides an antidote to that kind of doubt and misbelief. God Himself makes plain to us through His gospel that His gifts to us are truly gifts, not paychecks or earnings, and that they are therefore very precious. He deals with us in kindness and affection, He declares, because His own Son endured as our substitute the hellish reprisal that we deserve. Because of Christ, who is Himself God and who bore our sins, our God does not hold our sins against us, but He welcomes us into His presence in loving kindness, and He takes care of our needs both now and forever. Through His gospel and His sacrament, God both brings us to faith in Christ and instills in us the will to do His will rather than our own. And also because of Christ our Savior, all physical and temporal blessings come to us richly and lavishly from the hands of a forgiving and merciful God. It's true, we of ourselves have deserved no good thing. Not the spiritual and eternal, not the bodily and temporal. But for the sake of Christ, we are worthy of them all, and our God is no miser. In Christ we have the full confidence that our daily bread is granted to us even before we pray for it. Make us thankful, Lord. But then why pray for daily bread? We might ask. Make us thankful, Lord. But then why pray for daily bread? We might ask. What significance can there be in asking for temporal blessings if God attends to our every need of body in any case, whether we ask for it or not? We all know the answer, at least in our heads. But what about our hearts? Our Heavenly Father desires not only that we have our daily bread, and therefore if we give it to us, but He also desires that we remember Him as the provider of our daily bread and as the one to whom we should give heartfelt thanks for. We fail God often in this regard, and we fail immediately. We embrace His blessings, and yet we forget Him as their source and guarantor. And so, in teaching us the fourth petition, Jesus seeks to overcome this shortcoming in us. As we say, give us this day our daily bread, we implore God to impress upon us that our clothes and food, our homes and school, our health and safety, our wisdom and strength, our money, our government, and everything else that God uses to nourish and maintain our earthly existence is a gift from Him for Jesus' sake. Faith looks to God's way as its familiar way, and God's way is for us to thank Him for our daily bread. By bringing us to believe in Jesus Christ our Lord and by keeping us in that true faith, God answers that prayer which we offer again this morning. Make us thankful, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God gives daily bread, indeed without our prayer, also to all the wicked. But we pray in this petition that He would lead us to know it and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. Amen.